First, the time frame of this course, as I mentioned, is modern Russia, which I'm dating from about the childhood of Peter the First, Peter the Great, in the late 17th century, when the first lasting steps toward Westernization were taken, to the rule of Gorbachev, whose reforms really set Russia on the current post-communist path of integration much more fully with the rest of the world that we're seeing today, though in many ways the two end pieces, Peter and Gorbachev, both had similar goals. And I want to emphasize the word modern here. It isn't just that we're talking about the modern period of Russian history. The very problem of making Russia modern is central to this whole course. Certain types of people are also at the center of attention. Political rulers, czars and emperors and communist party leaders and others. But also political rebels, people who resented, who were angry about the repressive policies of their state, who saw injustice around them. And this ranges from peasant rebels in the age of Catherine the Great, to members of the radical intelligentsia, especially in the 19th century, to dissidents under communism. We'll also be looking at creative people, at classic writers like Pushkin and Tolstoy, though also at avant-garde poets and artists. And my interest in them isn't so much as creators of literature or art, but whose experiences, whose visions, in many ways reveal a great deal about the Russian experience, about the meaning of Russian history. And finally, we'll be looking also at quite ordinary people, peasants and workers, students, middle-class people, ordinary Russian and Soviet citizens. And thinking about these people and their lives, certain themes weave these stories together. Two of them, the most important in many ways, are power and imagination. Thinking about power, which will be throughout the course, we'll be looking at how political leaders use their power, at their policies, at their actions, but also, because this is so revealing, how they justify their authority, how they talked about what made their authority good and just. We'll all be also looking at contesting arguments about power, at arguments about a different form of power that peasant rebels or intellectuals, for example, offered, at ideas about democracy, for example, about individual rights. In other words, we're going to be looking at ideas about power in this course, but also about the power of ideas. This leads to the second major theme of the course, imagination, and you can already see it emerging out of the first. Throughout Russian history, we see Russians trying to imagine and often trying to actually construct a completely different life from the one they're leading, different politically, different socially, different culturally, different morally. One sees this vision of a different life among rulers, Peter the Great, Lenin in some ways, Gorbachev, and many in between, and we see this vision of a different life in the efforts and in the ideas of many citizens, both ordinary and quite extraordinary. The reverse side of the spirit of imagination, however, is no less important, and we'll also be talking about that. We have to look at widespread doubt, at pessimism about Russia's fate, and especially because it happened so often, the tragic failure of many of these idealistic visions to be made into reality. Indeed, the often terrible consequences of these idealistic visions. Other themes are related to these two central leitmotifs of the course. One of them, already obvious from what I've said before, is Russia and its relationship to the west of the world, and in particular the West. From the time of Peter the Great until Gorbachev, and indeed still today, Russians have struggled with their relationship to the West. Remember, Russia is a country situated right between Europe and Asia, half in one, indeed more, in Asia. And its relationship to the West, both as an economic force, which is significant, as a political force, and especially to Western ideas and culture. In this course, we'll look at these struggles over the meaning of the Russian nation in relationship to the world. This struggle was, of course, begun most dramatically, just as this course begins, with Peter the Great's efforts to Westernize Russia. We'll also be looking at the theme of happiness, the pursuit of happiness. We all know images of Russian culture as dark and brooding and preoccupied with suffering. One only has to think of Dostoevsky to have this image of Russia. But Russians also spent a lot of time talking about happiness, how to make their country a happy country, or what Russians often call now, more modestly, simply to have a normal life. And we too will speak of this. We'll speak about morality and ethics, for Russians also constantly spoke about how to create an ethical society. This was the goal of many of the rulers in embarking on reform. It was the goal of many critics of the status quo who, precisely in the name of a more ethical, more moral, more just society, criticized excessive power, corruption of the system around them. A related theme is what might be called generally spirituality. Religion, of course, was from very early on central to Russian history, indeed still is very central to understanding Russia. And I mean this not only in the sense that the Russian Orthodox Church, the influence of this church was widespread, as well as that of many minority religions, but that individuals, rulers, ordinary citizens, intellectuals, believed that material life alone wouldn't ensure the themes I've talked about already, happiness or morality in the world, that it required something to be called spiritual. And we'll see what that means. In fact, it's worth noting that even communism, at least in its early years, was imbued with a type of spirituality, a type of religiosity, as I think you'll see. Finally, we'll keep our eyes on everyday life, on how power, on how imagination, on how all of these many efforts affected people in their everyday lives, in their ordinary lives. We'll begin this exploration in the next lecture with the time when Peter the Great was growing up. This was a time of enormous frustration for men and women in Russia who wished their country to be in many respects on par with Europe, which in so many areas it wasn't. These were people who, like Peter himself, wished to make Russia into something more than what Elizabeth's ambassador put it in the 17th century, and as many Russians themselves would have agreed, a land about which nothing more needs be said than the country is too cold and the people beastly be.